Ryan Rashog joins us. And, Shog, our Oilers could get a break tonight if Gibson isn't ready to go. And Dan Wood said his gut instinct thinks he might not go because Gibson's pretty much been an Oiler killer.
Yeah, no, he has been. And that would be a huge break for the Oilers. And if you look at the temptation for them to do that by giving them one more game off, then you potentially give them the All-Star break and lots of extra rest. And then he's totally healthy and ready to go for the back portion of the season. So there's real temptation there for the Ducks to give him the night off, and that would be a big break for the Oilers tonight because they've got enough to deal with in this Anaheim team without having to try and get a puck past a goaltender that plays real well against them all the time.
Yeah, Ryan, I agree with you. That's probably the – resting Gibson is probably the smart play, the percentage play. But is it the play you make if you got an Oiler team coming in that you're looking eyeball to eyeball with in the standings?
Yeah, I suppose it depends on what the health report is, really. I mean, let's be honest. If the doc is saying, no, he's totally ready to go and has been for a day or so, and the player is saying, no, I'm completely ready to go, then maybe you look at it the other way and say, well, they want to get him into a game so that he doesn't go 2 weeks between games or whatever it'll end up being. So I hear what you're saying, Robin, and really it all boils down to information that we're not going to get before the game, which is, what are the doctors saying? What's he saying? That part of the equation is the most important of the equation. So most important part of the equation. So we'll wait and see whether he's standing between the pipes tonight when the broadcast starts or not, but I'm sure the Oilers are certainly secretly have their fingers crossed that they get the backup on this night.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. No lineup changes other than Cam Talbot in goal. No real surprise, I think, with the 18 skaters up front. Lucic awoke on the weekend. The Ducks, big team. It was interesting, though, pointed out by Dan Wood. McDavid's has 1 point in 5 career games against the Ducks. And Dan Wood was talking about how he feels he struggled against Getzlaff. What do you think?
Yeah, well, and I don't know 5-on-5 what his minutes look like versus Getzlaff or Kessler. I do know that Kessler, I mean, often gets that role. And in the games that I remember having watched between these two teams, it's often Kessler that's matched up against Crosby or against McDavid. That's what he does, right? He's made a living doing that. Getzlaff is also a player that when he puts his mind to playing real good, solid defense, he's big and fast and can back check and can really, he's one of the few guys that can skate with just about anybody. So this is not an easy matchup for Connor McDavid. It's really not. He's got big, strong guys that can out-muscle him in the face-off circle. He's got guys that can fly because Kessler and Getzlaff can both still skate. This isn't easy, and that's why at 20 years old, he's still learning some things in this league and how to succeed against the Joe Thorntons and the Ryan Kesslers and the Ryan Getzlaffs of the world. That's still a challenge for this young player, and that's why it's reflected in his point totals and his ability to be as effective against teams who feature those kind of world-class two-way centermen.
Well, he's played 24 minutes this season at even strength against Kessler in 2 games, which if you look at it, that's the only player he's played more minutes even strength against is, as forwards anyway, is Jordan Martinuk, and they played I think they played Arizona 3 or 4 times already.
Yeah.
So in those 2 games, it's been Kessler, Silverberg, who's out tonight, and Andrew Cogliano. So that might be the break, because I'm telling you, Silverberg is a heck of an underrated player.
Yeah, no, he is. He really is, and they'll definitely miss him. And how are McDavid's numbers 5-on-5 against Kessler? My guess
He has no points this year.
Right. And what about the flow of play, the shot attempts and stuff? Is it pretty significant in one direction?
I
don't know if you have that in front of you.
Yeah, no, I'm looking at it right now. His Corsi 4 over 60 is 46.
Yeah.
And then against is 44. So, yeah.
So it's up to Connor to figure out something in his game where he can use his advantages to try and get around and get through these bigger players. And it's not easy to do. And quite often, what it ends up boiling down to on a night like this, guys, and Robin, I know you'll probably agree with this, is which way are the refs going to call it? Because if the refs are going to call it tight and they're not going to allow a lot of obstruction, chances are McDavid will have room to get a game in tonight. If they don't call it tight, if they're letting these guys get away with getting on him and holding him up a little bit, it's going to be a tough night for him against this team.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what I want to see, Ryan? I think every fan does. I want to see the teams play. We talking to Dan, and we know this now the way the Oilers have evolved. The Ducks, for a long time, sort of set a standard for having size and grit that also had skill and could play in the top six. Now you look at this Oilers forward group, much the same thing here. It's not a bunch of little scooter guys with skill but that get pushed out of games. I want to see these groups go at each other, don't you?
Well, yeah, I do, but I don't know that that necessarily plays into the Oilers' favor. I think that plays into Anaheim's favor. If the refs are going to say, "Oh, we're gonna be pretty loosey-goosey tonight, and you're going to be hard-pressed to get an interference or hooking call out of us unless it's to the letter of the law," I don't think that plays in the Oilers' favor. McDavid is a threat to draw a penalty on any given shift, depending on how the refs are calling it. So what we saw him doing a lot of early in the season is just placing the puck behind defenders and skating around them. He hasn't been doing it as much, but if the refs call it loose, it allows those players when they come back and they cover McDavid on the breakout, it allows them to get an arm on him so he can't get up ice full speed. It allows them to stand in front of him and interfere with him. It stops him from using his greatest weapon, which is his speed and acceleration. So I agree with you. It's good because that's probably what it'll be like in the playoffs. And so Connor might as well be getting used to it. But it's like the two games they played against the Maple Leafs and how kind of polar opposite they were. How in the one game they were letting Kadri get away with a ton and how in the next game not so much. They were calling it a lot tighter. For the Oilers to be able to take advantage of McDavid and his speed and his shiftiness, they need, like, do you want to see that call made where McDavid's going one-on-one with a D-man and he pushes the puck behind him, tries to skate through him, and the 1-1000, 2-1000 being held? Like, do you want to see the D-man allowed to hold him up? Or do you want to see Connor be allowed to skate around the guy and use his speed?
Yeah.
Because you kind of can't have it both ways.
No, I want to – you know what I want to see, Ryan, and maybe I didn't make it clear. I want to see them bang, the little hook and the water ski. No, I want skill to have – I want skill to have to fight through physicality, not through sticks and a maze of arms and legs on them. To me, it's different. I just like seeing size and skill go at each other. The tug and hook stuff, no. Call it, let the skill guys play, but let them also be hit.
Yeah, for sure. And they're going to need Lucic to put another game together here.
Yep.
I mean, he hasn't put three really good games together in a row where he's really engaged this season. He's kind of come and gone a little bit. He's had some really good games. But they really need him to finish strong here in these two games before the All-Star break. They need him. They need what he brings. I mean, he was signed to come in and play that way against these teams, these next two teams they're going to face. They need him to put another game together tonight. He has a chance to make a difference in a game like this. And you know what? Patrick Maroon, too, frankly. Like, if Ryan Kessler is going to be chasing McDavid around the ice, Ryan Kessler or Patrick Maroon needs to be able to get pucks in, pound on defensemen, and make life difficult every chance he gets on a player like Kessler as well. So the Oilers have the guns to play that way. Lucic needs to be engaged again tonight.
Shogar, as you and Brownlee were talking, McDavid in his career has played basically 52 minutes against Kessler, 5-on-5,
yep.
0 points, 3 shots, and has a Corsi 4 for those who under of 43%.
Yeah.
So Kessler definitely, so far early in his career, has had success against McDavid. And I'll guarantee you McDavid is well aware of that. So it'll be an interesting one, too.
Don't you think, though, guys, that in the case of McDavid versus Kessler, it's easier to do what Kessler's going to try and do tonight than it is for McDavid to do what he's going to try tonight?
Oh, sure.
Easier to shut a guy down than it is to play through it and still produce offense.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know what? And I want to see McDavid master that. I don't want to see him have to fight through hooks and holds. But Kessler can also be physical. And think of that Ryan brings, and you touched on it, he's one of the few guys that has that bite in his game that can actually skate or at least close to it with McDavid.
Yeah, no, he's still got good wheels, even though he's getting a little bit older. And I mean, both Kessler and Getzlaff both have a nice deep stride, and they move around out there really well. So Connor's ability to expose them with his speed, he'll have to pick his spots, and he doesn't have as much an advantage on those guys as he does on a lot of other people. So we'll see what happens. But Jason, to your point, I agree. You know McDavid knows the score. You know he's keeping track in his head too. He knows he hasn't done much against this team. And he knows that in order to get out of the West, they would have to come through a team like this. So this is a puzzle. And Connor is a smart, cerebral player. It's taken him a little longer to figure this one out. It'll be interesting to see if he does something different, if he employs some sort of tactic, if there's something, a wrinkle he can add to his game that gives him a little bit more of an advantage against these guys. Because I agree with you, he's got to be thinking about it.
Ryan Rashok from TSN joins us. Ryan, Anton Slepyshev, haven't done a whole lot of conversations about him. The guy's got a hard shot. There's no debating that. He's not on the power play. He's not on the penalty kill. So he's kind of in a tough situation, although, you know, Tyler Pitlick had an unbelievable 31 games to do it. What have you made of Slepyshev's play?
Yeah, I mean, he's been he fades away and doesn't get noticed for long stretches of time, but then all of a sudden he can snipe top shelf the way he did off that draw. Like, he's got a wicked snapshot. It's really, really hard, and he gets it off fast. And quite frankly, I mean, he doesn't use it nearly enough. I mean, what has he played, 21 games, and he's got 34 shots on net? That's not enough when you got a shot that good. So you want to see him using it more. He's got good speed, too. He can get in on the forecheck. You know what I noticed the last game or two is as the physical temperature of games went up, he actually got in there and was throwing some body checks and stuff, too. He doesn't shy away from that. There's a lot of qualities to like in his game, but he's having trouble being effective consistently. So I don't know if they just need to keep giving him opportunity and ice time, and if it'll come around and maybe some confidence. If he puts together two or three games where he gets a couple of points, maybe it's only confidence at this point. But I see a lot of tools there, and I like the fact that he's not a shrinking violet.
No, that's the thing. The one thing about him, he's very good on the boards and doesn't get noticed a lot. And you never notice him making a bad, egregious play defensively.
He's pretty good. And that's the key for wingers in the bottom six, right? Yeah. That's how you buy yourself ice time, is the coach trusts you. When you get the puck on the wall in your own end, more often than not, you got to be like 85% of the time, you got to be making a smart play. Because the coach wants to know. I mean, Mike Babcock, I remember, I heard him talking about analytics once, and he was so clear and concise about it. The only analytic he really cared about is he said, when my guy gets it, I want to know who's got it next. In other words, do we have it or do they have it? Like, that's, to him, the most important analytic out there. Who's got it next? So for a player like Slepyshev, who's got it next? And if the play doesn't die with him, and if he can make smart plays on the wall in his own end and put the puck on his teammate's sticks rather than turn it over, that buys you opportunity. Now you've built in a trust with your coach. He's at 11 minutes now. He has the skill to probably play more than that, but it's building trust with your coach. And he's got all the tools in place to continue doing that. He just needs to have more little successes, and then the confidence ratchets up a little bit. But I like the player. I think you definitely see value in the player.
Shogger, enjoy the game tonight. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, guys. Sounds good.
Ryan Rashog from TSN.